Good morning. Welcome to each one. It is a blessing and a privilege that we have to gather together here this morning. I had to think about it this morning. Thank you. The beautiful, lovely morning, and we can peaceably come and gather together. A blessing that many people do not have. I always stand for prayer. Father, we are grateful for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for what has been shared this morning. We pray you continue to guide and direct my thoughts as I share here this morning, that you would work in our hearts, accomplish those purposes, that you would have in each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Brother Warren led that song this morning. I was getting scared next he was going to take my topic. Some of the things he had in there definitely spoke to what we'll be looking at today, but he didn't really pick out some of those. Trying to discern what to preach on is about the hardest thing for me, probably. Needs to be something that God speaks to my heart, not just something to preach about, not just filling in time. I'd been listening to a message recently as I was out working, and it said about how many people have lost their way. And the title of today's lesson came to me. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to use. Another message mentioned about mighty men of God falling seemed to confirm what I was thinking. So the message this morning is based on one I used in Ivuna years ago. This time, I will try to share a modified version without an interpreter. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. We look here at some at the life of Joash. He was a king of Judah. I thought about drawing his family tree on there, but I guess I won't. Hopefully we can picture it enough as we go here. But here in chapter 22, it tells us that when Joash was a baby, his father, King Ahaziah, was killed. His grandmother, Athaliah, killed all the king's sons. Who would be the next king? But baby Joash. Baby Joash was hid by his aunt for 6 years. And during that time, Athaliah reigned over the land. Then in chapter 23, it talks about when he was 7 years old, his uncle, Jehoiada, who was the priest, Jehoiada was married to Jehoshabeth. That was the aunt that saved Joash's life. So it seems that's how the priest is connected, because he was married into the royal lineage here. So his uncle, Jehoiada the priest, arranged to have Joash crowned as the king. And in that process, the wicked Athaliah was killed. In verse 11, Second Chronicles 23:11. Here we see, then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. So here we see that his uncle, the priest Jehoiada, gave him the testimony. What was the testimony? Testimony would have been the law of Moses, which was to be the king's guide. Turn back to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy, start reading at verse 17. We'll start reading at verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So he was supposed to have the book of God's law. Actually, it sounds like he was supposed to write his own copy. I heard of someone that was working at copying the Bible. I don't remember how far they got. So he was to write his copy and keep it with him. It was to be his guide, that he may learn to fear the Lord and to keep the words of this law. That was one thing I thought about in that song we sang. Talked about the fear of God. Here the king was to read God's law, and that he may learn to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. The priest, his uncle, Jehoiada, made a covenant with the people that they should be the Lord's people. Okay, back to 2 Chronicles 24 again. I'll start reading in verse 1. We did talk about that a little bit. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. How long will you do what is right in the sight of the Lord? When I had shared this originally, I asked, as long, in the context of Avuna, as long as Brother Tim is there, will you continue serving the Lord? As long as the white people are there? Or until Jesus comes back for you? Since I asked that, the first two things, neither Brother Tim is there or any white people. And since that, the church fell down. Building. But praise the Lord, the church is still going on. Or until Jesus comes back for you. That's another thing that stood out to me recently. The brevity of life. A young man, a new father. My nephew worked for him. I knew his father as a youth. He went to Bible school with his mother. Was taking a pipe or hose apart on his manure truck. It was too heavy. It fell down and killed him. Same day, I found out a nephew of mine had cancer. Doctor says nothing he can do. What would you add to the list today for how long will I do what is right in the sight of the Lord? as long as things continue as they have in the past, as long as my family is faithful, or as long as my church is faithful, as long as we have freedom of religion, as long as we can keep using this building here. As I meditated on some of those things, I began to see more my need. In Joshua 24, 31, it talks about, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." After that, it changed. My Bible footnote says, Moses had trained Joshua to be his successor, but Joshua and the elders of Israel failed to train their own successors and to thoroughly ground new leaders in the faith of Israel. As a result, the next generation succumbed to Canaanite idolatry. God's people were always just one generation away from apostasy. Therefore, young people must be trained to walk in the fear of the Lord today so that they become the proper godly leaders of tomorrow. The title of today's message is, "How long will you serve God?" Back there to 2 Chronicles 24 again, let's turn to verse 15. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15. "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." Jehoiada was very old when he died. And I don't know if God allowed him to live that long to keep giving guidance to the young king. Anyhow, he was buried among the kings. And he was just a priest. All right, then in verse 17, it says that the next verse, "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass." Made obeisance to the king. Using the King James as to bow, crouch, fall down, humbly beseech, do reverence, worship. Seems like these princes came and flattered the king and got him to turn away from God. Verse 18, I read that. "They left the house of God of their fathers and served idols." What did we just read in Deuteronomy? The instruction for the king. And here they did the opposite. Most of us here can say the Lord God of our fathers. And even if a person cannot say that, maybe a person that's the first in their family to serve the Lord, the God that they have found true. Will you be faithful to that God? Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see," or experience, "that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." After experiencing God's love, forgiveness, and power in your life, would you leave him to serve false gods? Will you continue to trust him? Psalm 119:9. "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Will you seek him with your true heart, with your whole heart? Back here to 2 Chronicles 24, again, verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Here we see the mercy of God. He seeks to bring those back who may have wandered away. He doesn't force us back. The choice is up to us. 2 Peter 3 says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What did they do here in verse 21? They conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. They refused to hear God's message. Will you listen or rebel when God sends people to speak into your life? Our prayer group discussed that a little bit on Wednesday night. Do I want to be rebuked? Not really. Would you rather be burnt? The child is going to touch a hot stove. Are you going to rebuke them or let them touch it? How does that fit in our life? I had to think of an example in the past where I know of a church leader that tried to share a concern with another church leader, and it did not seem like it went down very well. That church leader belittled the other one to others, and the church leader that shared the concern has lost his way with God. I'm not saying just because of that, but many other circumstances. Verse 22 here. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. The king didn't remember or didn't heed all that his uncle, the priest, had done for him. He killed his cousin, who had the Spirit of God upon him, and tried to speak truth into his life. Well, I remember the things that I have been taught about God. Let's pick up down here again, verse 23. It came to pass at the end of the year, the host of Syria came up against him. They came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. When they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, or wounded, I think, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. They buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. So here we see a judgment was carried out against him. The Syrians came with a very small number and destroyed a big host of Israelites because God was not helping them. God allowed judgment to be carried out. And then he was killed by one of his own servants. God's punishment for forsaking the true God. The choice to follow God or not is ours. That's the choice that we can make. But God determines the consequences. That part is not our choice. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what happened here with Joash? His uncle died, and next verse they turned from God. Now we don't know how much time is in between. We tend to think it probably was a gradual change. One thing would seem like happened was a lack of reading God's word and lost the fear of God. Am I faithful in reading God's word to keep a reverential fear of God? Someone recently asked, what is the fear of God? I had to think. Sometimes we think of opposites, help us to think of what the real thing is like. I had to think about our country. This is the opposite of the fear of God. I said to my wife recently, I wonder if anyone ever figured out how much money it cost our country by taking the Bible out of the public schools. Do we read God's word? Is it by us like it was supposed to be by the King? Do we read that and keep that as our guide book in life and help us to maintain a fear of God? Another thing I had to think about was not following God's instructions. In verse 3 of 24 of Chronicles there, right after Jehoiada was talked about beginning to reign, it says that he took him two wives. Well, that was a disobedience to God. God had told him not to do that. And I read it a little closer. It was his uncle that gave him two wives. So I'm not sure what the reason for that was. Anyhow, the verse I did not read there in Deuteronomy, the verse right before, God's instructions for when they have a king was, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, and neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So it seemed like that was not really following God's instructions. I had to think about the list of people I went to church with or family members that are not living with their right marriage partner today. I can't count them on my two hands. Some were influential leaders in the work of the church. As we think about that, be humble. Don't look down our nose at people like that, but pray and care for them. Ask God to help us. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Another thing I had to think about here with King Joash, where did it go wrong that he lost his way and following God, serving God? Listening to poor counsel. In verse 17 there, it talked about he listened to the counsel of the princes. And they left the God of their fathers. Why did he listen to them? And the more I got thinking about it, with the princes, who were the princes? They would have been his sons, I guess. Because all the other royal seed would have been killed off. So had his sons gone away from God, and he turned around and followed them. I'm not sure if that's the way it is, but it would seem like that's... I didn't have time to study that further. The Targum, which is an ancient paraphrase or interpretation of the Hebrew Bible, says, after the death of Jehoiada, the great men of Judah came and adored King Joash and seduced him, and then the king received from them their idols. Then later in verse 21, it was at the king's command that they killed a man that had the Spirit of God upon him. Know who you're listening to. An example of Eve in the garden was listening to the dishonorable prince that was cast out of heaven. And it did not go well. Who are you following? Who do you admire? Do you want to go where they're going? Was Joash just following his uncle and not following God? As soon as his uncle wasn't there, he fell away? I'm not sure. This past week, I had thought of an illustration came to my mind a little bit of our journey of life. An illustration. It's not, they do break down at times. Let's just say this is heaven, and for our example, we will use coming here to church this morning. I'm not saying this is heaven, but we'll use this for an example. Some of us started out a different place. Some would have started up here and somehow found their way down to here. Some maybe came from over here. Some may have come from down here, some came from over here, some from down here, some came from down here. We all started from a different place. We all have different backgrounds, experiences, culture, I guess you call it. We started our journey at different times. We didn't all start at the same time this morning. Some may have had more obstacles to starting their journey this morning. Some had more people to get ready or chores to do or whatever. Some had a longer journey than others. Some may have a little more difficult journey than others. But as I was thinking about this, on this journey, some things can be done more than one way. We're starting down here. We could have came another way and still arrived at the same destination. One Sunday morning, though, I was coming to church My wife was away that weekend. I was by myself, and something went wrong with the barn or whatever, I forget. I was late, so I was coming. I was listening to the service. I was coming up here, and I wasn't thinking what I was doing. I was singing along with the singing, and all of a sudden I realized I was going out there. We come this way sometimes, but I didn't. Just wasn't thinking what I was doing. So, if I continue out that way, will that get me here? I was out here somewhere and realized it and said, we'll turn around and come back. If at some point, if I kept going out there, it would be too late for me to turn around and get back to here before the door was closed. So maybe that's where an illustration breaks down a little bit. We can always come to God right where we are. But the longer we continue down the road of our choice, my way, the more reaping we may have. And it appears like Joash did not find his way back to God. Now for those of us that are on the right road, the road we're on may have some places where it does matter. We need to be pretty accurate in that we are following exactly the right path. There may be a bridge we have to cross, a concrete abutment, and if you're off a little bit, it doesn't go well. Recently, someone was going and got off the road just a little bit, took a mailbox out. The old mailbox isn't too bad. Well, had a nice rock there and totaled the vehicle. If it would have been just off that much in the other direction, hitting a stationary rock is one thing. Hitting a vehicle coming at you 50 mile an hour would be another. That could have been deadly. So sometimes we can choose, there are some things different. We can choose a different road, maybe arrive at our destination. Sometimes there are some things that we have to be just right, or it won't turn out. We won't get to our destination. And if we are going away from God, maybe we need a U-turn to get back. May God give us wisdom in discerning where we have options and where we do not. Somehow King Joash lost his way on his journey and did not find his way back to God. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. How long will you serve God? Let's be faithful to the end. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Will you keep your faith in Christ? In John 17, Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, let's turn to that. John 17, verse 4. John 17, 4. Yes, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus finished the work that God had given him to do. Will I keep doing what God has for us to do? Now turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest be wearied and faint in your minds. Look unto Jesus, our example. He endured to the end. Revelations, Jesus says to the churches, or to the believers, to him that overcometh will I. Turn to Revelation 2, verse 7. To him that overcometh, Revelation 2, 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, continuous or repeated action, overcoming. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Chapter 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Will you be of those that overcome, that overcometh? Let's back up to Hebrews again, chapter 10. Hebrews 10:37-39. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Will you be of those who do not draw back? Hebrews 11, we often refer to as the faith chapter, gives us many examples of those that were faithful to God and endured to the end. Let's start reading at verse 32. Hebrews 11, 32. And what more shall I say more, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that sets before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. They remained faithful to God no matter what was done to them. May we also be faithful to the end. It's not just about starting well, but about ending well. How long will you serve God? As long as things continue, as in the past. As long as my family is faithful, or my church. As long as we have freedom of religion. As long as we can keep using this building. I'm not saying if the church moves and you don't feel you can go along with it, that you have lost your way. I'm not saying that. Oasis is not the only church. But I could allow it to become an offense. And my response could be a stumbling block to others. We don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. God knows the future as well as the past. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Matthew 6:26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better, much better than they? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus demonstrated God's love for us. John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I, Jesus, am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Be faithful to the end.